introduce my message this morning with a psalm. And it's not the psalm that Yoko read, Psalm 150, is not the one that I want to read now. I just want to briefly touch on this one because I just was reading this in worship and I just felt that we need to hear this and then we will open in prayer. And it's Psalm 135. And it says, "Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant." It's a pleasant thing, how good it is to be able to praise our God. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with praises in our heart this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is all about you. And we just surrender our lives to you this day. And we thank you, Lord, as we share your word, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will touch and change lives to encourage lives in this house today. Father, I thank you that you would bless the people in here to receive of what you have for them. And anoint me, Father, as your vessel this morning to share the word and share it in integrity and honesty, Father God, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we give you praise for your word this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. How pleasant it is to praise the Lord. The psalm that Yoko read there before in Psalm 150 speaks that we are to praise the Lord in his sanctuary, in his refuge, his place of refuge, in his presence. And we're to praise the Lord in the firmament, out in the whole world that we live in, to praise him at all times. Psalm 34 actually talks about that. It says that we're to praise God continually. Now, we all in here this morning know that we praise God every day, every moment, don't we? We ought to, but our lives ought to be a living sacrifice of praise unto him. The fruit of our lips giving thanks, Hebrews 13, verse 5, that we need to be praising him continually, offering the sacrifice of praise unto our God because he deserves all of our praise. He deserves our praise when we're in church. He deserves our praise when we're out of church. He deserves our praise in the hard times. He deserves our praise in the good times. Every one of us have a challenge in our life, whether that be a financial challenge, a sickness, a problem that you're facing. I was speaking with Barbara before the service. She's been through so much, and as many of you have, and I did ask Barbara's permission to share this morning, that she's been through so much, but she's still praising God. She's here this morning to praise God. What a testimony. You know, there is no testimony unless there's a test. And through that test, if you choose to praise God through it, he'll turn that test into a testimony. Every storm of life that rages in your heart, in your life, in your family's life, your friends, your acquaintances, just praise God. And you're saying, how can I praise God when the enemy has beat me up so much? Well, we're going to look at some stories today, this morning, that is going to demonstrate that you can praise God because you're a child of God and his royal blood flows through those veins. His presence is manifesting in your life every day. There's other things that can be manifesting when we step outside of his will, outside of being led by his Spirit. But he desires more than anything to inhabit the praises of his people. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we know that faith pleases God. But I can tell you, next in line is praise. Next in line is worship. Next in line is surrender to him. When we praise the Lord, we activate heaven's dunamis. Do you know what dunamis is? The power of God working in your life, the anointing that destroys the yokes of bondage that the enemy has put on you, that we have put on ourselves. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the torment, whether you're in a place because of what you've done, or you're in a place not because of what you've done, but you're just there, whatever the case is, choose to praise the Lord. That's my encouragement to you this morning as we share this word this morning with you. In that psalm, Psalm 150, it's interesting because that doxology there, that song of praise, we look at the last words, the last verse, and what does it say? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When we cast our mind back to the triumphal entry of Jesus coming back, riding on a donkey, coming in, the multitudes of disciples praising him. Palm Sunday is what we know it as, a week before the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We see a powerful, powerful thing. People are praising him, blessing him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what is said. But we also find at the same place, and this is a revelation, an insight that I want to share with you this morning, the Pharisees were also there that day. And they were saying, shut them up. Shut them up. In other words, shut that praise up. You can bank on it. You can 100% count on it. That when you start praising, there's going to be people in your life who are going to want to shut you up. Have you had that before? Have you had discouragement before? That you've been so, you've been a Christian in your like your passion for Jesus and you're praising the Lord, and someone says, God's not going to come through. God's not going to heal you. God's not going to touch you. God's not going to bring change or breakthrough in your situation. Yes, he is. He will. He might not do it today. He might not do it in 5 years. He might not do it in 10 years. Who knows when he will do it? It's up to him. But that won't stop us praising him. And when those Pharisees were trying to quench the Holy Spirit, to quench the praising of the king who came in lowly, riding on a donkey, that was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that would take place. So Jesus, you're probably wondering, why was he riding on a donkey? Well, a donkey was a picture of humility. It was a picture of lowliness, a picture of servanthood. And that's who Jesus, he wasn't of the governments of this world. He was of the government of the King, of the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty. The people, the Jews, the Pharisees were looking for a Messiah that was going to be a political superpower, a general in the army that was going to take over everything and fix everything up, take over the Roman Empire. And yet they get a king, in their eyes, a so-called king, that comes riding in on a lowly donkey. He gets nailed to a cross. He doesn't even defend himself when Pilate says, what is truth? And when he's talking with, he said, and truth standing right in front of Pilate. He doesn't even defend himself. As quiet as a lamb, he comes before his accuser and accusers. And don't sit in here and say they were the accusers. We were the accusers as well. But praise God by his blood. Praise God by the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming into our life, by the word of God that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, come into our life. And we went from accuser to having a relationship with the one who loves us so much, the one who wants to pour out mercy and grace. He wants to restore the dominion that was lost in the garden. He wants to restore it back to you and back to me. Adam and Eve surrendered it. In turn, Jesus surrendered his life. And now we can receive because he was the firstborn of many brothers and sisters who would have eternal life. That's just one reason we praise him. There's many others. But I just find it interesting in this life that we live that it's so easy to let circumstances slow us down and slow our momentum in the Lord. Have you ever had that time where you've just been going through a tough time, albeit in with your health, whatever, and you just don't feel like praising God, right? You don't feel that's what I want to do today. I just want to go and fix it. To intercede for those who don't have a voice. And when we praise the Lord, that unlocks doors that will never be unlocked unless you do. Praise, worship, honor, glory belongs to the Lord. In our lives, we have fear, and fear magnifies more and more as we give into it. But I can tell you, when you make that decision in the midst of your trial, in the midst of fearing, you are going to break free of that. I just want to share a short testimony of my life when I was about 25 years old. I was going through a really hard time mentally. I'd just finished doing Bible school and I was doing church things and in the music, and I just had this thing. I woke up one morning and my pupils were fully dilated and they were not reacting to light. You know how when a light comes to your pupils? So it was just fully dilated. They were black. My eyes were black. I was some weirdo. And then from that morning onwards, I didn't sleep for another 6 weeks. I had little bits of sleep, but my sleep pattern was destroyed. My chemical imbalance in the natural was just out. And throughout that time, I went through waves of highs and waves of lows, mostly lows. But in that time, I can remember myself making myself do some things that were probably not natural to me, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was leading me that way. And I'll tell you two things that I did that I believe that helped me to get through that trial, that storm. I've never had one like it before that, and I've never had one like it after that, praise God. But I know that they're ahead of us, all of us, including myself, and we've got to be ready for it, and praise is your power. But I stood by the drum kit in my music room one night there when I was just had enough. I was being tormented so much. I knew God had a call on my life, but I just couldn't go and fulfill that call like I was. And preceding that, I had some things that were going on that I had to repent of. So I don't know if I went in that because of sin or whatever. I don't care why I went in it, but God brought me through it. But I stood at that drum kit that night and I said, Lord, even if, and please forgive me for saying this, this statement, but I was in a bad way. Even if you've taken your salvation from me and I have to spend eternity in hell, I'm going to continue to praise you. I'm going to praise you as long as I have breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. As long as you got breath, you can praise God. As long as you got breath, there's hope that you can break through. And I said that night. That night, I won't say I slept a 12-hour stint, but I slept better because I chose in the trial and in the storm to stand against it in praise, to praise the Lord. And another situation which actually happened before that, a couple of weeks before that, I was in Brisbane and I was in the unit there with my parents and my wife were actually with me because I had gone up to see get medical advice on this situation. And I couldn't sleep and I lost all my strength. I could not walk. I could barely walk and it was just weird. So Dad and Jody, my wife and Mum, got me up and we went to the lounge room and we prayed. We started just praying. And you know, we put some praise music on and we were just praising the Lord. And you know, as time went, it wouldn't have been but 10 or 20 minutes, I started getting strength back in my calf. I just remember my calf muscles, they were just like nothing. It was just floppy. No, the muscles just weren't activating. But I can tell you, once I started praising the Lord, things started to change. I started to regain my strength. I started to have a hope. I started to even prophesy in my heart, that I'm not going to be in this place forever. I'm going to be preaching the gospel one day to people. I'm going to be sharing with instrument music and things like that in the future so that I can bless God's kingdom and make a difference and be part of a body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was set free that night. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and made it good. Because I didn't feel like it. I didn't even have any hope in me at that point in time. But when I started praising, the breakthrough came, and I started sleeping. Things started to get back in. I got back involved with the AOG church that was here and is here at the time, Vineyard Church. I was helping out with preaching and doing things. So God opened the door after that. It was like a wilderness period of time, and we go through wilderness seasons in our life. Jesus went through a wilderness season in his life. He was tempted by the devil, yet without sin. We are tempted by the devil, yet with sin, but yet we have a Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all sin. And though we fall short of the glory of the Lord every single day, he is always there to pick us up. And that leads me to that story that Yoko, the second one in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, talking about the man at the temple gate, beautiful. This man, lame on his feet from birth. He didn't even know what it was not to walk. That night that my legs were a little bit weak, I knew what it was like to walk, so it was a big deal to me. It was a big deal when I could start walking properly again. I felt normal. But this man didn't even know what it was like to walk. There was no strength in his knees, in his ankles, in his muscles. He was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He was taken and carried by friends and family, whoever, to that place, Temple Gate, beautiful, every single day. People walking past every single day. And he was asking them, begging them for alms, gifts. I guess he couldn't work, so he needed to do something, I guess. I don't know the explanation of that completely. But he come there that one day that is recorded in the book of Acts. And we see Peter and John coming. And he's saying, I haven't seen these two before. And he makes that petition to them. Alms? Not arms, alms. I don't know, how do you say that word? Gifts. I'm just going to say gifts. And like Yoko read, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give to you. You know, you and me are a picture of that lame man. We're lame on our feet. We're born into sin. We're beggars. But then Jesus comes along and he says, silver and gold have I none, or even though he has, but he's not interested about that. But such as I have, the salvation, the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, the word of God, the life-changing blood shed on the cross, such as I have, I give to you. And in that story, so you can see the type there. You can see the cross-reference from that lame man to us, from Peter to John to Jesus, that typology. And we see that right through the Old Testament story about Mephibosheth. I'm not going into that today, but that's another type of us with Jonathan's son and King David. But there's so many messages and insights and revelations in the Scripture that point to our Savior, that point to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how he come into your life to redeem you, to bring you back from the miry clay, to bring you back from the fields of sin, so that you have the ability then, by his Spirit, by his shed blood on the cross, by his broken body, you have the ability to enter in to his presence. And you can now come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in that time of need. Who needs mercy today? I need it. You need it. We need his mercy. And he's willing to give it. He's already given it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus looked down, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. In other words, he's saying, I want to show mercy to them because they are helpless. They are lost sinners, but I will save them by grace if only they will have faith in me, if only they will praise me. Praise changes things, changes lives. Praise gives us purpose. Praise brings rest to our hearts. Praise gives us assurance, brings intimacy with God in our lives. Praise is a picture of surrender and demonstration. Praise leads us to a place of restoration. We're going to be speaking about restoration this evening. And I believe that there's people in here, and there'll be people here tonight, and there's people out there, and there's a person standing right here in these shoes who needs restoration. We all need restoration. And when we praise, God restores. God restores all things to those who trust him. But that's for tonight. That's another story. But in relation to praise as demonstration, we are, number one, demonstrating to God, even though we don't need to because he knows our heart, but we are demonstrating to God that we care about him and that we praise him and that we appreciate the mighty works. Like Psalms 150 says, the mighty works that he performs, We praise him for who he is. Tommy Tanney from years ago, I don't know if any of you have heard of him or known him, but he wrote, they had a song and he had a series of messages that come out to seek God's face and not his hands. And that was just a revelation that we so often want to seek God for what he can give us rather than seeking him for who he is. And he can give us things just by knowing who he is and having that revelation in your heart. And he will bless you. But that should not be our number one motive. Our number one motive ought to be that we want to praise God because simply who he is, what he's capable of. That when we are weak, he suddenly can bring a strength into our life that will be transforming to our lives and set us free to open the prison doors. God is a good God. He's an awesome God. So that's the demonstration. But the greatest demonstration of praise, I believe, is a demonstration to a lost, hurting, and dying world when they see a believer praising God in the midst of their trial. In the world, all we're hearing is, woe is me, when something's going on, woe is me, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? Da, 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 da. Stress, stress, stress. And that happens, and it happens in the church. But we have an opportunity, church, to be able to, when we're going through our trial, to be like Daniel, to open the curtains wide and to pray to our God, to praise him and to show that off to all of the world. And they're going to look and they say, that person's really unwell, or that person's gone through such a hard time, yet they've still got a smile in their dial and a pep in their step. They're still going good. Why? How? Because of Jesus. Because I'm drawing on him, on his strength. As I draw on his strength through praising him, worshiping, praying, reading his word, fellowshipping with the saints, I regain the strength that I've lost. So praise is a demonstration to a lost, hurting, and dying world that there is a God in heaven, there is a God in us, there is a God in his church. And he loves and empowers his people to do great exploits for him. Who wants to, in here, do great exploits for Jesus in the coming months, years, and in the rest of their life? I want to do it. There's only two or three of you. Okay, all of you others? We are going to have that attitude. I want to make a difference. And I don't want to make a difference like the world does in charities and all that. That's all great. But I want to make a difference for the kingdom. And there's been many hindrances. Jody and me, since we stopped pastoring nearly 3 years ago, we have had our differences. We've had our challenges. And now, Jody's not here this morning, but she has come to that place. You can play Joy if you like. We've come to a place now in our marriage, in our relationship, where I'm beginning to learn to be the husband that she needs. I'm not perfect, but I'm beginning to understand. And we've had people in our lives who helped us through that time, because she's unwell. She has a pacemaker defibrillator. She's had a cardiac arrest 3 years ago, just before we closed the church. So there's been lots of challenges there. But I can tell you, God is faithful. And his praise shall be continually on my lips, because that night when she was on that bed and she just blacked out, and I'm saying, Jody, 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 and she just does all this funny seizure stuff on the bed. And she flatlined. But God is faithful. And Jody's here today, not today, but she's here today. She's in this world today. She'll be here tonight. But, you know, and even after that, before that, I didn't appreciate my wife the way I should have. I got very selfish. I put my ministry before her, and I did things that were back to front that I thought, oh, no, I've just got to do it this way because that's what God wants. But ultimately, I've discovered, especially in the last couple of years, that you have to put God, what God has given you, you have to look after. You have to look after it. And if that means to forsake your ministry for a season, or to just, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to preach here and to help and to share here with music. And, you know, that's given me an avenue to let my little bit of selfishness out. But ultimately, Jody's here today, and I want to nurture her. I want to look after her. And I encourage husbands for you to do the same. I appreciated what Dave said before, that some days Janelle may not be here. That's fine. That's good. That's all right. Because our families are our God-given gifts above all things. I wouldn't have said that 3 years ago. I pastored for 9 years, and for nearly the whole 9 years, I just pushed Jody to the side. I pushed my kids to the side, and I just ran a church. But praise God. I need to bring this back to praise. Otherwise, we're going to be an emotional mess. Praise God. We're here today. You're here today. Joy's on the piano. And God is worthy of all our praise. I was going to talk briefly this morning if I've got... Can you give me another five? And as soon as the five's up, throw a tomato at me, okay? Paul and Silas. With this example of the man at the temple gate, beautiful, we see him praise God after his breakthrough. Paul and Silas come into Macedonia, Philippi. They have a really good time to start out with, but then they meet this young slave girl who is making her master's much money through divination, through fortune telling. And this slave girl is exposing who Paul and Silas are, men of the Most High God. And it's a demonic spirit that is in operation within her that is bringing this. And this happened on and going on for days and days. I would read this, but I haven't got time because you've only given me 5 minutes. So the point is that once they, this girl done it after a few days, Paul had enough. And he did exactly what Jesus did to the pigs. Demon, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And then when the masters had seen that their opportunity of a business and the opportunity of profit had gone, they seized him and those two men. And to cut a long story short, that they were thrown into prison. And that's where I wanted to get to, all right? I'm not a real good storyteller. But they were in that prison, and they were put in the inner prison. Their legs were in the stocks. The prison doors were locked. There were other prisoners in there. There was a Philippian jailer in there. And they were sent by God. This was the second missionary journey of Paul. They were sent by God there, and they find themselves in a prison for casting out a demon, for doing the works that they were supposed to be doing. Is that a place to praise God? Like, God, I just did what you asked me to do, and now I'm in a prison. I've just been doing things for the church, or I've been doing that, and this has happened in my life. Is it relatable to you? Can you find that sometimes you've just poured everything out, and it seems like God hasn't appreciated what you've done because you find yourself in this trial? And I can tell you, just because you find yourself in the trial is a great indication that God does favor you, because he will use that trial to lift you out and to bring glory back to himself. And that's exactly what he done in this story. It's exactly what he done. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns in the midst of, notice this, in the midst of their trial. They had not had deliverance. Their legs were still in stocks. Prison doors were still shut. They were in the midst of their trial, but they chose to praise God. Everyone say, at midnight. The midnight hour came, and there was a mighty earthquake, and those prison doors were thrust open, and all the prisoners, Paul and Saul, all escaped, and they were never to be seen again. Good, you know your Bible. So they stayed right there because the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself because he was responsible. And if these prisoners had have escaped, what was going to happen to him? His fate was death. So he was just about to thrust a sword through him, but Paul says, don't do that. In fact, I have something for you. Silver and gold have I none. Not that he said that, but such as I have, I give to you. And him and his whole family were saved that night. But praise Saul, sorry, not Saul, Silas. Paul and Silas chose to praise in the midst of their trial to see the breakthrough. The lame man praised after his breakthrough. Can you see the difference? And it's no right or wrong either side. We should just praise God continually. Before a trial, in a trial, after a trial. But there is something special about Paul and Silas that night, that they chose to praise the Lord and they were set free. And not only that, but they were honored, because in the process of going into prison, they were whipped, hit with rods, and they were Roman citizens, which was highly frowned upon. And they chose, just as Jesus did, to remain silent. So there was great fear among the magistrates and all the people, the accusers, because they had touched Roman citizens, which was not lawful. And to cut the long story short, have I used the 5 minutes? I think I might have. That they were set free, ready to continue, and Paul went on to do other missionary journeys and to write 2/3 of the New Testament, not the Old Testament, the New Testament. And we are privileged and honoured to be able to read his writings, to learn from his writings and to glean doctrine from them. What an awesome God. So whether you're in the midst of a trial this morning, whether the challenges of life are all too much for you this morning, or whether everything's just going cruisy as, praise him. You going to do that? We're just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that life's trials, Father, we're not immune to them, Father. The challenges, the mountains that we've got to climb and the valleys we've got to come out from. But I know, Lord Jesus, that you are there. And just as you, Peter, Father God, took that lame man's hand and lifted him up, Father God, I thank you, Jesus, that you do the same thing to us, that we're lame on our feet without hope. And you come and take us by the hand and lift us up. And you set our feet upon that rock. And that rock's name is Jesus. And we just want to praise you today, Lord. We just want to lift your name up. And as your people go out from here today, Father God, I thank you that you would bless them, bless their families, bless everything that is associated with one, everyone who is associated with each family that is represented in this house today. We thank you, Father God, that this is a new day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we give you the thanks and the praise for your word, Father God, that it does not return to you void, but it will accomplish that for which it has been sent. And I thank you, Lord, that your word of praise has been sent this morning to each heart that is in here, and that we, each of us, Father God, will apply that praise attitude, that praise lifestyle to our lives from this day forward and forevermore. No matter what comes our way, Lord, we choose to praise your name because you deserve all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.